If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with someone who has been on the show before, but I was looking back to figure out when actually it was that you were last on like a proper episode of the podcast. And it was 2020, which it seems like that was both like a million years ago and last week, like, you know, at the same time. And so, it's been quite a while since you were on the show. And there's obviously a lot to talk about. You got quite a bit of music that's come out sort of since then and upcoming. But the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself, give a bit of background about what it is you do as an artist, and then we can take it from there.
Sure. My name is Micah, and I have a band called The Secret Beach, and mostly me and some of my friends that play on the recordings and tour, and a record coming out the end of August.
Awesome. And yeah, we'll definitely get into the record, because that's sort of the reason for doing this now. But with The Secret Beach, like, I think last time you were on the show, again, not wanting to dwell on 2020, but The Secret Beach was the name you were using for the studio then. I don't think you were officially The Secret Beach as like a moniker for the project. So how long has that been sort of the name for the music you put out and the music you play?
It would have been pretty soon after that. It would have been pretty soon after that. Like it, I guess, the first Secret Beach record came out in August of 2022.
Okay.
So, it would have been maybe sometime in early 2022 that I sort of decided to merge the two.
Well, and I guess the follow-up question to that is why? Because you'd already had at least two records under your own name, probably more, two that I can think of offhand. You had all this time touring, you know, you were established as yourself, well ahead of this. So what was the sort of reasoning behind? So, I mean, I know people still know that you are you in The Secret Beach, but what was the reason for switching to a more sort of vague name rather than it being obviously you?
It was mostly that I wanted to involve other people. Like, for example, on the new record, there's a song that somebody, like my friend Dan, wrote and sings a song on it.
Okay.
And that was sort of, I sort of wanted to look into the long-term vision of the project. And I also felt like when I was making records under my own name, I was sort of still sort of searching for the, like, I was sort of maybe compromised is not the best word, but I would end up making these recordings that I wasn't fully, I guess, I wasn't really like producing them. Like, I was sort of,
right,
sort of co-producing them with somebody else or with the help of somebody else or not in my own space, or it felt like I was figuring out how to get these ideas across well.
Yeah.
And then once I kind of had the studio, then I realized, oh, this is actually bigger than just me. This has the potential to be something that I can represent.
Okay.
Or that I can serve.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do, yeah.
It felt like it, in some ways it feels weird because I will still tour alone. And I think that if I had it my way, like maybe I could still do both. But it's just from a public perspective, easier to do one.
Yeah.
And warm. Yeah.
Yeah. For
and
sure.
And also it's kind of cool. Cause it feels more, I wanted a little bit more freedom with the whole thing.
Well,
freedom to be able to kind of, you know, change things up.
Well, that's what I was going to ask too. Like I get the impression the Secret Beach is sort of a collective, like it's a name that's used for whoever you're working with, right? It's not like a set band. Is that sort of the idea that you can use this for whichever project you're involved with?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then with the studio too, it allows it to sort of cover that as well.
Yeah.
I sort of had like this, you know, I had some ideas. I had some visions of doing records that maybe I was a lot less involved in.
Okay.
As far as the performance goes. And I just sort of thought, you know, I don't know where this is going to go, but if I get on it now that I have this studio, now that I have this creative space and sort of this control over the sound entirely, that is really a cool kind of thing to be able to do.
Do you think that there's a sound that, I mean, because I know you've done a lot of production stuff for yourself and other people sort of over the years. You seem to be doing more and more of that kind of behind the scenes stuff. Is there a sound that the Secret Beach has? Like, is there a vibe that you sort of feel emanates from that studio that can be heard on various projects coming out of there?
I think that there is, because when I make my own music, I have certain desires for things to sound a certain way, and some other people might ask me to record their music because they like that sound.
Sure.
But realistically, no. Realistically, I really would just like to record other people and make them sound the way that they would like to sound.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And that's totally fine with me. Like, I don't want somebody to come in and think like they're gonna sound like my records.
Yeah.
We would have a conversation and they might, like, I'm thinking of somebody like Sam Singer. You know Sam Singer.
Yeah, and I don't know him personally, but yeah, I've heard the record, yeah.
So like Sam would come in and he might have some ideas that I wouldn't normally have, which is totally fine. But he's the type of person who is a fan of my music.
Okay.
And so he would sometimes say something like, I like how this song that you made sounded. I'm thinking of a very particular example. And so he said, how did you get that sound? And so I was able to tell him, and we were able to sort of, he used it as a reference point.
Right.
Which is really helpful because I obviously know how to do that particular
Yeah, whatever
thing.
That sound is, you've done it before. Yeah, yeah, you have the experience.
But it is my goal to not be limited.
22 and not knowing what to do. I had just come out of love and was falling hard for you. Out of town. Running out of time. I had my whole life in my head, but I couldn't make up my mind. And if I'd had to be someone, I'd be the one for you. But I couldn't keep chasing my mind. Couldn't keep falling behind. It was happening time and time. All the way. On days that did go by, I turned myself away from pain till I couldn't even cry. Through and through, you worked those fingers blue. You couldn't come across another one played as hard. When it seemed to eat you up that we would never love, it place to be. But I still miss those cold nights down on Osborne Street. It pissed me off when I took my final walk. No more Eric, no more Blue, and no more Curtis Falk. Those folks could sing the night away. You could barely feel your toes and your fingers as they froze. The wind still blowing at your nose. It's what our parents chose. I guess we'll stay another day. Winnipeg. And if I had to be someone, I'd be the one for you. But I couldn't keep chasing my mind. Couldn't keep falling behind. It was happening time and time again. It's true. 22.
I use some pretty specific gear and microphone choices and stuff with my own music, but I have other stuff that I would happily use. Like, I recently recorded an album for the band Mise en Scene, and mostly using recording techniques that I wouldn't, you know,
they have
use
a very
on
different
my
sound
own.
Than your stuff. I mean, like, there's I guess there's that like interlake connection, but they do sound quite different. Exactly.
I mean it was more of the vibe. I mean, and granted, they did want to venture a little bit more into the raw sort of, you know, I sort of have like this raw sort of approach to music where too much perfection is.
I think you hear that in the records too. You hear the kind of the genuineness of it, I think, comes through because it is that has that raw sound. Yeah,
exactly. That's another thing about the, you know, the establishing of the Secret Beach is when I was making the self-titled records. I made two self-titled records, and they didn't do that like I wanted them to. They were too perfected. Not that they were perfect sounding records. Like, I thought I made them sound worse. And I actually worked with somebody, well, a bunch of people, but one person in particular who did some mixing for the first Secret Beach record, and he gave me a lot of encouragement in saying things like, he will often work with bands and he will encourage them to use their demos on their records. The biggest example was for him was one of the first big records he worked on was Mellow Gold by Beck, which was his breakthrough record. And
it has that vibe for sure.
So it was just them. They had like basically a portable setup, and he said they never the whole record was not made in studios until it came to mixing.
Oh, cool.
That was the first time that it saw a studio, and until then they were just doing it at people's houses, their living rooms, etc. And it was like they were sort of building this thing in a demo sort of way. So anyways, people like that really encouraged me to lean into that. And maybe I went too far with this first Secret Beach record, but like, that's fine. It's what I wanted to do with it, you know?
Yeah.
So there is that sound,
okay. But
that's not necessarily the sound of the studio.
No, that's fair. For sure. So, with this record you have coming out, in August, right? The next Secret Beach album is out in August.
Yeah. On the 23rd of August.
I was reading, I think it was on your website, that this one, there was a heavy Planet Waves influence on this record.
Yeah. So what part of it?
I have that album. I haven't listened to it in a long time, but I mean, I remember it. What is it about Planet Waves that influence you? What, I mean, what was it specifically about that record that sort of had an impact?
It was really just there's six songs on the Secret Beach record,
right?
So that are in that sort of that are that in, have that influence. When I first started recording the album, I had the idea to get a group of people into a studio and record, and they wouldn't know the songs. I wrote a bunch of new songs. I think I wrote about maybe 20 or 30 songs, and then sort of, got that down to about 15 songs, and we recorded, like, just for my own sort of choosing what was good. And this would have been in like the month before type of thing, or 2 months before. And that's kind of how Planet Waves was done, was nobody knew the material. They would just record a few songs every day. So I was just reading about that album, and I thought, oh, that's really cool. I'd like to try something like that as an experiment. We recorded 15 songs, and six of those songs are on this record. So it's about a third of the songs. It's not the whole thing, but yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you hear that listening back to them? Like, do you think that, like, you know, I know you know sort of how these were put together and that inspired it, but when you listen back to the finished versions on the record, do you hear that Planet Waves-ness sort of in the songs, or is it obscured enough in your sound and in what you do that it's not necessarily obvious?
On two of them,
okay.
I do.
Okay.
On two of them, for sure, like the song 22 and the song Have You Seen the News, which is coming out on July 11th. I don't know if this interview will be out by then or not.
So people could check that out when they hear this and go look for it. If it's not out yet, then wait a few days.
22 has been out. This song is called 22 has been out for a little while. And those ones in particular, I would say, would be that sort of style, because I think those are the only two that never got any overdubs.
Okay.
Some of the other ones are still alive recording, but they're much, I might have added percussion or another guitar or some more vocals or something like that that made it sound, that make them sound a little bit more produced or whatever you call it. But those two in particular are just live, five people.
Cool.
And that's it. So it kind of has that, those kind of have that sound. And everything in a way does, because I guess in the other sense is that I was recording everything on tape for this record.
Yeah.
And so for the most part, everything was recorded. Even if it was just me, it would be, you know, play the song as a performance and then play the next instrument as a live performance. So it does have a bit of a playful feel. And then there's one or two others that are like made like with somebody else, like the song that I recorded with my friend Daniel Diamond, who wrote the he wrote a song called Where Did It Go,
okay,
which is already out. And we recorded it kind of similar in that, you know, he sat at the drums and I played the guitar and we played together, and then he played the guitar and I played the bass and we played them together.
Cool.
And then he would sing and I, or maybe we'd sing together, or I'd play the electric. Like, we always did it where there was two of us doing an overdub at the same time, not just one person.
Yeah.
Until maybe it got to the end and there was only one last thing to do or something.
That's a cool way to do it.
It is. It's kind of the best way. I mean, that's my favorite way to make a song, because usually you get it done that day. You get a mix and you're done. And it's feel, I mean, maybe you get more than one done in a day,
right,
but it just feel, there's a lot of energy because you're bouncing off each other. Sometimes when there's too many people involved, it can also be really great because it's everything, you listen back and it sounds done. But also, you know, it's just, everybody's got to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah. It's going to get distracting. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's fun too, right? But
oh,
yeah.
Yeah. But for sure. Just, yeah. This record is very, I mean, from what I understand and from the title and everything, it's very Winnipeg centric.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Simpsons reference in the title. I'm trying to think back to your other stuff, and I mean, I have the previous Secret Beach record. I have one of your other ones. Has that sort of place in your songs been as important in the past? I think you do have some songs that are definitely stories about things that happened and real life kind of vignettes and stuff. But has that sort of like very specific location part of it been part of what you've done in the past?
No, not that I was aware of, I guess. So I think that it has been, but I wasn't aware of it at all.
Okay.
Maybe because I just sort of step outside, and I've actually, it was because in the, like, as I was making this record, I was living in Saskatchewan a lot more, which is like, it's, that's where my girlfriend lives. And,
okay.
And
okay.
It's where I live now for the most part. And we're usually here or on tour or whatever.
Right.
And I guess sort of as I was making the record, I realized, oh, I actually have this like really strong tie to Manitoba to the degree where I end up, that's like sort of what's in my vision as I'm writing. And there's some themes in the lyrics of this album, but it's mostly like the feeling. It's like every song that when I listen to it has a place in Manitoba for me.
Okay.
In my, like, you know, there's maybe like a location associated, or many locations associated, or feelings or situations associated with Manitoba. But it's kind of funny because I've made this record that I've like, it is sort of Manitoba themed, or at least it's the first record that I'm admitting that I am a Manitoba based artist.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, you know, like my art is like kind of has its roots in Manitoba. And as I'm making a new record now, I think it's the same. it's like, I think it's not just the one record. I'm just sort of admitting it on the, on the one record, you know?
When you put this record together, I mean, like you said, you had all those songs you kind of whittled down to the ones you were going to use on the album. Were you deliberately sort of making songs that had that connection, or did you just realize sort of at one point you have all these songs that are very clearly Manitoba themed or related or you know,
yeah,
adjacent?
It was actually like after it was done and mixed and everything, it was probably in the time that I was mixing it.
Okay.
That that I realized that. And yeah, it was, that's the thing, is that I guess I sort of realized it about all my music. But that I really realized it, really, this one really made me realize it. It really made me realize that no matter where I go or what I'm making, there will always be that sort of connection point. And it's a unique thing, you know, because there's only so many people that have that. I mean, it's not a big place. It's a physically big place, but it's not that many people. And so I think it's kind of, it's good to embrace that in your art. So once I realized, then I sort of was thinking about how I could accentuate that and make it not just that I would know that, but that somebody who's from Manitoba would see the record and, or would hear the record and be given a clue. That's why I gave it that title, is because it's almost like, if you know enough about Manitoba to know that reference, then you will be able to get it in a little bit deeper into these songs in that way, or not, or, you know, just the same as I really appreciate when an artist has a strong connection or identity with their with their home. I really like that. It brings me there, you know, like I'd like to be able to feel like I'm in the home of that artist.
I think when someone does that right, you, even if you've never been there and never will go there, you definitely have, you develop an idea in your head as a listener of what that place is like. Because I had the best example for that. I mean, it's very different than what you do, obviously, but is Wu-Tang. I've never been to Staten Island. I don't think I'm ever going to get to Staten Island. I listened to Wu-Tang for decades now. I have an idea in my head of what it's like based on all of these things. And like, you know, it maybe it isn't, but we're very, very well crafted this idea of what their community is like. And it's really specific.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. And it's in the sound too. It's not just
lyrics. I mean,
it's obviously, like the lyrics help, but there's a sound about it and you can't help it. I mean, that's why I try when I'm making my records to get some ambient sounds, like, you know, back the mics off a little bit and maybe get a little bit of outside noise and involve other people that are from that area or whatever it might be, whatever you're trying to, you know, get down, because there's a sound, right?
For sure.
It could be weird stuff. Like, you know, I'm thinking about, there's a guitar that I've got here that I was lending to Liam Duncan for a long time, and it's all over his new record.
Oh, cool.
But now it's here again, and other people probably, like, that's part of a sound that's kind of local, because there's actually physical instruments that have made their way onto different people, onto many people's records, and like that will only ever sound like those instruments, right?
Yeah, you can't remake that even if you have all the technology in the world, because it's that specific.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's really cool. It's really cool.
I like that, yeah.
Take you up.
Yeah, well, when I saw the title, I was pumped because, like, I always like this. Just like you're saying, I mean, when someone illustrates a place that he gives you a picture of it. I mean, I'm from Manitoba. I've lived here my whole life. I know what Manitoba is. I get the references, but it's still cool to see that, even as someone from here, to see that that's being kind of highlighted. Because yeah, it's always good. Always good to give us some attention over here.
Right. somebody just asked me. They were like, "Did you have to like get any sort of like clearance for that, or pay any sort of
Simpsons
royalties?"
Reference, yeah.
For the Simpsons reference, and I was like, you know what? Like, if they wanted to sue me, there's a good argument that they decided to make fun of, our home,
yeah.
And the least that they could do is let us use the title that they gave us.
I don't know if they're aware of how important that reference became here too, right? Like, I mean, it's such a huge cultural thing, which is really weird, but everyone knows it. Everyone knows it here.
Exactly. I think maybe my next record will be called Chicken Car Wash Laundromat Pizza.
That's a good one.
Or something like that.
That's one that only people from Winnipeg would get because it's such a specific reference, but yeah, that's an awesome one.
Yeah, exactly.
So the record is coming out in August. I mean, the good thing about this being a podcast, people could hear it. They could hear it the day it comes out, or they could hear it a year from now, at which point it's already out. You probably have new stuff happening. What's the best way to find your music, just sort of in general at this point?
Just look up The Secret Beach or The Secret Beach Music. It's there, you know, it's there now. It's on social media and streaming services of all sorts. And
cool. And yeah. Then you have physical copies as well. Bandcamp, your website, what's the best way to get that stuff?
Yeah, I currently am running a Shopify store, and I think I will continue to. It's a little expensive, but I think at the end of the day, I think it actually is about the same.
Okay.
So fingers crossed, somebody's listening to this in 5 years. Yeah. I still am running my Shopify store. If not, it'll just be on my website. It's like thesecretbeach.ca. That's where you can find everything.
Cool.
Shows and, yeah.
Well, and I was going to ask about shows too. Like, are you doing anything, do you have a tour or anything planned to sort of promote this record?
Yeah. Well, I've got a show on August 1st in Winnipeg.
Okay.
And that'll be like the album release show. It's like, you know, obviously it's 3 weeks before the album comes out, but I'll have physical records there. I'm doing a little Western Canadian tour. It's like July 28th or 27th or something to August 4th.
Okay.
And it's just Manitoba and Saskatchewan and Alberta. So that'll be a sort of an early, you know, record release party tour thing.
Cool.
And then I'm doing a big tour that goes basically from Winnipeg to Vancouver and then south to California. San Diego and then back up kind of thing. So
cool. Well, I was gonna ask you about that too, because I mean, I know I see a lot of, and I have over the years seen a lot of stuff on your social media and everything, that you are playing a lot of shows kind of in the States, sort of West Coast, places like that. How is your, I mean, especially with this one, maybe it'll be different because of the overt Manitobanness of the whole thing, but like, does your identity as a Manitoban, does that relate at all over there, like, or do they just think you're local? Like, I mean, do you have something about what you do that makes you stand out as like you're not from here? Like, or do you think your music is sort of pliable enough, I guess, that people can put their own, maybe not so much with this one because again, it's more specific.
Well, I guess the thing is that you wouldn't necessarily know that about the Manitoba reference with
record. Right. Yeah.
But unless you're a big Simpsons fan, of course. I guess the thing is, I don't know. That's hard to say. Like, I think that people don't know. I think like often people think that I'm local or that I'm from LA or something and I'm touring to Seattle or whatever. A couple of times people thought it was a bit that I was talking about, like
it was a character,
how much I love Manitoba on stage. And they thought it was like a joke, like a, you know, like I was just had some weird bit that I was saying that night. So it goes always, but I think for the most part, people just like the music a lot there, and it seems like they really dig the idea of, you know, of a Canadian artist. Most of the time they don't know people that also are from Manitoba. You know, usually I'm the only one. So yeah.